Thank you so much, Doris and the music team. Did you enjoy that? Singing praises to God together. In one sense, in a very real sense, for us as Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus, every day is a good day to share the message of Christmas. But during this particular season, we make the extra effort to share the beauty, the simplicity of the Christmas message. We all need hope. Without hope, we perish. But the question to ask is, what do we hope for? What do we hope in? Let's find out as we look at a group of friends who meet once a year between Christmases to share their hopes and their dreams in life.
Oh no.
Hurry up, late already.
It's all right. Not so bad.
Ayo. Wow, so late. You know how...
5 hours
late. You know how bad is this? No, who are we going? We're going to visit John Ting. Pastor John Ting. He doesn't like to be late.
Pastor John Ting.
This time really jealous. The Christmas party is at his place. I think we go there. Instead of having roast turkey, we'll be having... We become roast turkey ourselves.
Right? Oh,
sorry,
yes.
Sorry. I'm late.
Ayah, you also.
Sorry. Did you guys just get here too?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, don't tell me. We all took the
MRT.
Actually, the delay is not so bad. One for 45 minutes, another for 2 to 3, and one for 5 hours. I mean, it's just once in every 24 years, right? Why do you guys whine about it?
Huh? 5 hours, and you say it's not long? Brother, which country you come from, huh?
Philippines?
Are you sure there are even trains in the Philippines?
Oh, yes. Our MRTs do break down once in a while, but at least our windows and doors can be open.
Hey, but seriously, when we're waiting just now, I saw this guy, very talented. Who says Singapore is not creative? While waiting for the train to come, he actually composed a song.
Really?
Yeah, and then he uploaded the song to YouTube.
Oh, interesting.
The song is about Christmas, and Christmas about giving presents, right? So this song about the present SMRT gave to Singapore. I teach you how to sing.
Okay.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a late train on the MRT. Second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me blue lights in late and a late train on the MRT. On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 3 apologies, 2 lights in late and a late train on the MRT. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 4 incidents, 3 apologies, 2 lights in late and a late train on the MRT. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 5-hour wait. 4 incidents, 3 apologies, 2 lights in late and a late train on the MRT. Christmas, my true love sent to me. North sounds like delay,
circle line delay,
North is like delay. Every line delay, taxi fares go up, passengers get back, CEO hangs up, minister flies past. Here gets involved, no one knows what. Sweet turn internet goes wrong, and a late train on the MRT.
Actually, jokes aside, it's not easy to be a CEO or sir, right? Everything also cannot blame. But I must blame them. Because I just bought a brand new property next to the MRT station. Oh. I thought the value would go up. All the trains keep coming so late. My value of property will go down.
Oh, that's bad.
And then guess what? This week, I read a newspaper, I see a stock exchange. And they tell me, got American crisis, then got European crisis, and then got this, the kimchi crisis, no, the one,
Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il crisis, North Korea. All my money gone. Hey, don't get me wrong, it's not that I want to keep talking about money, It's not that I'm money face,
Isn't that you?
That one is my retirement plan.
You're not. Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure you're not.
Yeah, all my money gone. My hope for early retirement is gone also. You know, now I have to work so hard until my hair is white, something like Chris Chia like that. But one lesson I learned, you cannot put your hopes on man-made plans. Technology and not on money. Yeah, and to think I last time worked for EDB so smart, actually no money. Nah.
Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?
Okay, enough of me. Hey, Adrian, brother, last Christmas, we saw you with a chobu, the pretty girl. Hey, got wedding bell now, No MRT bell, got wedding bell now. How are you?
No more wedding bells. She has left me.
You asked the wrong question.
Are you sure? You? How can she leave someone so tall, not so dark, but so eligible like you?
Say that again.
So tall. Okay, you get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, she left you.
Yeah.
Well, if she left someone like me so round and chubby, I can understand that. But why you?
Yeah.
Never mind, Adrian. You can join me. We can join the singles club because singles forever, right? Singles rock! Whoa!
And we can also come and sing our
favorite Christmas carol before you got tricked by that pretty but unfaithful woman. Shall we sing it now again?
Okay.
Comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple.
So, Lucky, your hope in work and in property and in money has failed you. And so is my hope in women and people. How about you, Chelsea? Tell us something about the trip you made that has something to do with Peace mission?
Guess where I went?
India?
Yeah.
Hola, listen, look at this, Chinatown.
I went to India. I went for a peace mission. We went there to celebrate Gandhi's birthday. You know how I've always been passionate about peace? You know, my favorite idols like Aung San Suu Kyi, like Nelson Mandela, and like Dalai Lama and Mother Teresa. I really hope to be like them one day. But you know what? My favorite, John Lennon, he wrote all these peace songs, all about peace. But in the end, what happened to him?
What happened?
Somebody just shot him.
Ayo.
It's like, what is the point of peace when everybody just goes around killing one another? Yeah.
So, what are you going to do now?
I was hoping for this. Ask me what's my hope for the world.
So tell us, Miss Chosha Toon from Singapore, what's your hope for the world?
World peace.
Oh, okay.
But I think cannot make it. So, I was thinking, it's easier to hope for a rich man and be a rich Tai Tai.
So what's going to happen to your hope on your dream or your plan for world peace then?
I think we just keep singing peace songs, just like how we keep singing love
sing
songs.
Sing peace songs.
Let's sing my favorite, John Lennon's Happy Christmas.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah.
This is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear one, it's a good one, without any fears. And so this is Christmas, for the weak and the strong, the rich and the poor ones. The world is so wrong, and so happy Christmas, for black and for white, for yellow and red ones. Let's stop all the fight. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one, without any fears.
For it's over, if you want it. For it's over now.
Merry Christmas! Whoa, Feliz Navidad! So, Lucky, you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much.
And don't lose hope in money.
Okay.
Don't lose hope.
Yeah. With you.
Don't lose hope on properties. Huh? We'll
go up.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 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 I better go back to reservist.
Ajin, you also don't lose hope, okay? I'm sure you'll find many pretty girls. Look, so many out there. Yeah. So keep hoping.
Okay. Okay. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Bye.
Chelsea, you too. Don't lose hope in world peace, okay? I'm sure things will get better next year.
Okay.
Right? Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. World peace, yeah, right.
And so we keep on hoping against hope, from Christmas to Christmas, from year to year. And we keep on wishing one another with love songs and peace songs, well wishes. But each year passes and our hope to find security in money, our hope to find meaning in love, our hope to find purpose in good works and world peace, slowly but surely starts to fade. And if we are honest with ourselves, we will start living with a sense of quiet desperation. But here's the problem. We really have no courage or conviction to say that this life and our man-made hopes are not true. So what can we really do as we go from year to year, Christmas to Christmas, sharing our failed hopes. This is what we can do. We can turn to God and listen to His word. I read for you Matthew 1, verse 18 to 23. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be a child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The purpose of this story recorded for us in the Gospels is this is not a record of Jesus' birth. So you just think about it. Somebody gives birth, right, in family, and we all rush to the hospital ward all excitedly. The most excited are who? The grandparents. And the grandparents carry the newborn. They take photos to do what? Post on Facebook straight away. Send on Bluetooth to share. Then relatives and friends, and they repeat the whole cycle. If you really observe it, right, what's happening at the birth scene? What's happening at the birth scene, if you think about it, is perhaps the most one-sided display of affection in human affairs. Everybody is emoting, gushing over this baby, but the baby is totally botched up, totally indifferent. So what is happening at a birth scene? We're just recording the scene, how delirious grandparents are, how oblivious the baby is, and how worn out the parents are, especially beginning with the new mother. That is totally different to the birth of Jesus. This is not simply to record his birth, but to explain two important truths. To explain his origin, where has he come from? And then to explain his mission, what has he been sent to do? We never arrive at the human birth scene of a baby in us. Where have you come from? And what are you sent to do, do we? This account is distinctive and unique. It's not simply to record his birth, the details to Facebook it and to Bluetooth it, but to say to us, where has he come from and what has he been sent to do? And when put the two things together, it's to drive home, to send home a very important message that God has a purpose for the world in the gift of his son. And God's purpose in the gift of Jesus is to give us true hope. True hope. And so when we think about it, friends, hope, let's try to tease that out a bit more. Hope usually has two sides to it. What are the two sides of hope? It's usually hope to get out of something bad, a bad situation, a bad circumstance. And then there's the flip side of hope, to get into a better or the best circumstance after we get out of something bad. And so if this whole year you have experienced money troubles, you would hope to get out of that debt and get into financial stability in 2012. If this year has been a year of illnesses and sicknesses, you would hope to get out of a season of sickness and doctors and hospitals and get into a season of good health again. If this year was a year of broken relationships, or maybe just one broken relationship, you just hope to get out of that draining, destructive relationship and get into a new, liberating, energized relationship. You get the message? Hope has two parts to it, you can tell me. Hope to get out of something bad and hope to get into something better. This was perhaps the situation that Joseph found himself in. And so to truly understand the background, Joseph and Mary were betrothed. Right? How many of you were betrothed? It's not a common word or concept. The modern equivalent is engagement. But the betrothal of 2,000 years ago was slightly more serious than engagement. From the moment they are betrothed, they are actually called husband and wife. The difference was this. The woman would still live in the parents' home until the wedding day, when the husband comes and takes her. And only after that wedding are they truly, formally, legally, spiritually married. But if within that engagement betrothed period, one of them is found to be unfaithful, adulterous, then God's word stipulated this, that they could be stoned to death. By the time this happened 2,000 years ago, they had become slightly more lenient, and now instead of stoning to death, the way forward was divorce. Joseph was a righteous man, which means not that he was righteous by himself, he was a law-abiding Jewish person, a God person, which meant that he took God's law, the Ten Commandments, and all the commandments God gave his people rather seriously. But you can almost imagine the confusion, the conflict, what a conflicted person, a conflicted situation he entered in. Just didn't know what happened to Mary. And if it really happened that way, who did this? The shame of marrying a pregnant fiancé? You can almost imagine the lostness he must have felt in taking a decision and taking an action. So when you pull that together, here is a man, most likely at the end of his wits, at the end of his wisdom, at the end of his human strength, hoping to get out of a hopeless personal domestic situation. Guess what happens? Into this hopeless, helpless situation, God breaks in. God intervenes. Now, friends, is this intervention or is this interference? And we need to discern the difference between intervention and interference. We intervene to help people. We interfere to hinder them. There's a world of difference. And that's why when it says, after Joseph had considered this, now what does that mean? That means he had decided, he had made up his mind. It was only after he had made up his mind. You ever try to change someone after they made up their mind? Ever try to change your husband's mind after he made up his mind? Ever try to change your wife after she made up her mind? Ever try to change your parents after they made up? It's very hard business. After Joseph had considered this and made up his mind, God then broke in. What's the message here? Joseph is to start seeing the whole situation, the whole hopeless situation he's in, God's way. And more than just seeing it God's way, was to start doing it God's way. He was to see this as God's gracious intervention to help, not unwelcome intervention to hinder his life. A precious side lesson for us. A precious side lesson for us is this. You must never say in life, it's too late, I have made up my mind. And oftentimes when that happens to us through a period of prolonged period of pain, prolonged period of suffering in our lives, we're made up our mind with little allowance or no consideration of God. When we go through a troubled time, we forget to factor the person of God into our decisions and our actions. If we know anything about God and the good news, God and the gospel, it's not about us making up our minds. The destiny of this world is not about you and me making up our minds. The destiny and affairs of this world is about God making up his mind and us wrapping our minds and our lives around God's word and God's mind on this. So I want to ask you, what's a side point? So come to the end of the year. You made up your mind about something you're going to do in the new year. Made up your mind to leave a marriage, leave your family, leave a relationship, leave church, leave God. Why? I don't know. Possible reasons, shattered expectations, dashed hopes, more likely some injured pride in any of these things that we have decided to leave, marriage, family, church, God. What do we learn of God's gracious intervention into Joseph and Mary's life? I learn at least three things from this passage. It's a divine birth. She was found to be pregnant through the Spirit. Secondly, it's a divine announcement. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said. Thirdly, it's a divine plan. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. If you haven't got the message, divine, divine, divine. That means from beginning to end, in Joseph's really confusing, conflicted situation, from beginning to end in Joseph's very confusing life, it has been God at work. From beginning to end, and everything in between. And the message being sent is this. This is not something you can do yourself, Joseph. Only God can do this. And until we come to acknowledge our utter, total, complete inability to help ourselves and to save ourselves, we will never accept God's gracious intervention in our life. So God intervenes. But I do not want us to think that this is God's intervention about a personal rescue with a spiritual moral lesson for Joseph. That's not the point. The divine birth, the divine announcement, and divine plan is part of a bigger story, a bigger rescue. And he says here, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. A little bit of background is important. In the Old Testament, God dealt with one people. He chose them to be his people, Israel, the Jews. And in the Old Testament, God always kept doing this for his people. He kept saving or delivering them. The two words are interchangeable. He kept saving or delivering them from a few things. He kept saving or delivering them from sickness, from danger, from oppression, from enemies. But notice, the angel comes and announces to Joseph and to Mary that the name of Jesus and the work of Jesus that bears that name is that he has come, his mission is to save God's people and the world from our sins. He's not just here to save us from sickness, danger, oppression, enemies. He's here to save us from our sins. Vitally important we get that right. A few years ago, we had a snake at our house, which is at the back of the church. And so who do we call in? I woke up one morning. I let out the dog. We had a dog and to do its business. And as the dog ran around, I didn't have my glasses on. And then all of a sudden, I saw the dog barking like crazy, heard the dog barking like crazy, acting. And what did I see? With my blurred eyesight, poom, this thing came up. It was a cobra. Boy! I ran back to the house, shut all the windows. We called the police in. The police came with stun guns. I hear the police are called for almost everything. Cats stuck in trees, right? Lizards in somebody's house. Once we had a relative who said, Chris, can you come and help us? There's a very huge lizard. I said, how huge? Very huge. I said, we can't come now. Mona and I cannot come now. We'll come later. So we finally arrived there. I don't know, an hour, 2 hours later. I said, don't worry, because we called the police. I said, To find this big lizard. So I said, how big was the lizard? That big? No. That big? No. That big? About like that, lah. Wow. You imagine if you're a policeman, right? You go back home after a long, hard day and your wife say, today, which convict did you catch? I caught lizards, lah. Brought stun gun to shoot snakes. We keep telling Jesus what his main work is. We say to him, I think you should be healer. I think you should bring world peace. That's not what God sent him to do. God sent him to save us from our sins. That is his God-given agenda. And it was to correct a national, correct a very mistaken national expectation of the Jews. They were expecting, see, they live under Roman rule. They were colonized people. So they thought, our greatest problem as Jews is that we are ruled by others. So if our greatest problem is that we are ruled by others, we are colonized, what is our greatest hope? our greatest hope is for this figure that God has been promising, this Messiah figure called this Messiah figure who would come and he would deliver us from the rule of others. Their greatest problem was not that they were ruled by others. And they had been ruled by others from 722 BC. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Romans were the latest in the 700 years. Their greatest problem was that they chose to rule themselves. And they didn't have that right. They chose to be autonomous and independent from God. Of all the people on earth, God chose them so that they would live under God and His Word. And God's Word would give them God's way of living. And they were supposed to be a light to a world that didn't know God. But they chose autonomy, independence, self-rule. And what were the symptoms of this autonomy and independence from God? No love for one another. Injustice among rich Jews, poor Jews. Immorality in their lives. No compassion for the people God said they should have compassion for, the really vulnerable, the foreigner, the orphan, the widow. In short, if you went to Jewish society, they were full of self-love and empty of love for God and for others. I say to you, friends, that's what happens to all of us when we move from the rightful worship of God to the wrongful idolatry of self. We become serial sinners trying to find our own identity and security in everything else but God. When we move from the rightful worship of God to the wrongful idolatry of self, we have no desire for God, His Word, and His will, and His way. We only have appetites for ourselves and our sin. A wife catches her husband with another woman in yet another affair. She bursts out saying to her husband, "You're impossible to live with." You know why? Because you're just an appetite. And with that, she storms out of their home and out of their marriage, out of his life. And who would blame her? If you live with a serial womanizer, if you live with a serial adulterer, if you live with a recalcitrant cheat, we'll probably do the same. Never start with the presumption that we are, you know, you meet a new person and then you go back and say, "Hey, today I met a nice person. Tom is very nice. I met Chris, they're very nice." Nice is perhaps the most common label we use of each other. That's a nice person. Smiles a lot. Nice person. Never start with the presumption that we are nice people who love God and neighbor. Idolatry means we are God-haters and self-lovers. That's why we become, without God, an appetite for the next thing in which we find our self-fix, our self-security and identity. That's why we become an appetite for self-pleasure, self-importance, self-satisfaction, self-righteousness, and unthinkably, at times, self-pity. You know, self-pity is a backhanded way of loving ourselves. Just want to ask you, as you reflect on the year that has passed, how have you been to live with? Have you become impossible to live with? When you're going down a spiral, when are you going to stop? Let me ask it more precisely. When are you going to stop going down the spiral of feeding your appetite for what? For the next illicit affair? When are you going to stop the downward spiral of feeding your appetite for the next porn indulgence? When are you going to stop your appetite for the next grumble session? When are you going to stop the appetite for the insecurity binge that you face ever so often? When are you going to stop the appetite of the next anger outburst? When are you going to stop the appetite for the next pride fix? And I say to you, it's terrible when we degenerate into a series of appetites in which we find our humanity, our security, in all the wrong things. We become serial sinners. And so we think we are human. We are most contented and happy. The angry person is only as contented and human as his latest outburst. The proud person is only as contented and happy with the most recent one-upsmanship. The gadget person, the gadget addict, is only as happy and contented as the latest download. The insecure person is only as happy as the last profit he took on his shares. The alcoholic is only as happy as the last drink. The adulterer is only as contented with the last fling. The porn addict is only as satisfied as the last click of the mouse. You getting the drift here? In all of those ways, we must admit we have moved from the rightful worship of God and degenerated into idolaters. Why is this so wrong? What's so wrong with this if I choose to live this way? Because God did not create us to live this way. God created us with a very simple purpose. He created us to worship Him and to glorify Him. The most glorious thing about being human is what? You ask this of a Chinese. The most glorious thing about being human is to eat. The most glorious thing about being human, made in God's image, is to glorify God. Our highest duty and our greatest desire is to live in awe of God. In short, to be truly human is to glorify God, and we glorify God by living according to His word and His way. There's a certain way to live, certain way to conduct your marriage, certain way to raise children, certain way to love each other, certain way to be faithful. There is a way because God made it that way. Sin is our stubborn insistence not to worship God. You know what's the most inglorious thing about us? The most inglorious thing about being human is to glorify ourselves. The most inglorious thing about being human is always to shine the spotlight on ourselves and say, I'm the most important person in the universe. And this is what we do consistently, persistently. And God's word to us is that we are in this hopeless situation. You know what hopeless means? Hopeless means you have a problem, you are in trouble, but help is not available and change is not possible. You ever been there? You are in trouble, but help is not available and change is not possible for your life. How can we, like Chelsea and the team here, hope for the end of wars in countries when we cannot deal with wars in our hearts? There's something we need to know about sin. Sin makes us delusional. Why delusional? Because we think that sin is always someone else's problem. So, did you read yesterday in the newspapers of the teacher who slept with the student? A teacher who slept with the student. What do you call that? A betrayal of confidence. If you were the parent, you would want to kill this teacher, literally. A teacher who slept with the student. And when we read our teacher sleeping with a student, it's terrible, terrible. But we think nothing of the lustful thoughts. We think nothing of where what our eyes have looked upon, what our hearts have longed after. We think nothing of our internet indulgence behind closed doors. We read of lawsuits, families fighting over their inheritance, and we say, terrible, terrible. But we think nothing of the envy and the jealousy that we have our brother and our sister, our cousins, our colleagues, when we gather for Christmas and New Year and discover they have been promoted, they are richer than you, they drive a faster car than you, they live in a bigger house than you. How can it be? He was always dumber than me in school. You get the drift. We are pretty delusional about sin. It's always someone else's problem. So it is very good news that God announces that Jesus is to save us from our sins. Which means this, only Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from death can do what? Can do what to sin? Can break the power of sin over us, wash the guilt of sin from our life, and pay the penalty of sin, God's wrath, and God's future judgment upon us. Only Jesus and His death and His resurrection, only He can give us hope to get us out of the power of sin, the guilt of sin, the penalty of sin. Can you follow that? Every other hope we have in life is actually a fleeting, hopeless hope that postpones the reality of who we are. But don't get us wrong. Jesus has not just come to give us hope to get us out of sin, but hope to do this. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus' mission is not simply to get us out of sin. After he's gotten us out of sin, it is to get us right with God. What do you mean? God, if we know nothing about God, is a holy God. So for us to know and worship a holy God, we have to be made holy. And Jesus, by his death and resurrection, shed his blood to wash away our sin, to make us holy people again in God's sight. And so it says here, God made this promise of Emmanuel, a child who will be called Emmanuel, during the time of the prophet Isaiah. You mean during the time of Isaiah, you know what happened? The holy God withdrew his holy presence from the holy temple. Why? Because his people had chosen no longer to be holy in their everyday lives. But God said, the withdrawal of my presence, my holy presence, from the temple and from you would only be temporary. One day, a child will come and he will be God's means to be with his people forever and ever. In other words, this child will give us the permanent and eternal presence of God in our lives. Jesus is that child. Attended a funeral. Young man in his 20s, father had just passed away. His parents were divorced. For the funeral, he collated a montage of all the family photos, their best photos, and many photos of them together when he was a baby, when he was a young child. Right? Holidays in the snow, parties, birthday parties, celebrations at home, celebrations of his first day at kindergarten, of his parents holding him, hugging him, carrying him, always together. He found those photos after his dad passed away. And then he said something that struck me. You know, Chris, I've never seen them together because his parents got divorced when he was very young. These are all just photos. I've never seen them holding hands, never seen them at peace, never seen them together in a happy, blissful one moment together. Some of us may have come from those circumstances. And we have come from those circumstances. You would know that some of us who come from those circumstances have been permanently scarred. How? Why? By the departure or absence of a loved one. The departure or absence of a loved one scars us and breaks us. God warns his people, when I withdraw my presence, you will not know what it means to live lives without me. You will suffer the repercussions. We live in a world in which God has withdrawn his presence. And it's taken God all that time of promising and planning that one day he will again intervene by graciously giving his son to die for us. That he, God, his holy presence will be with us perfectly, permanently, eternally. This is not something you and I can do. Get out of sin, get right with God. Only Jesus, by his death on the cross, resurrection from the dead, can do this. He is our only hope. Can you see that? He is our only hope to get out of sin and get into the kingdom of God. Until and unless we acknowledge our utter, total, complete ability to help ourselves, we would never know the true meaning of Christmas. And please take note from Joseph's line, it's never too late and it's never too bad in our human lives for God to intervene, to bring salvation, to bring forgiveness, and to bring peace. And that's why we must always praise God for the birth of this child. And that's a song that Doris and I are going to share with you. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Until and unless we confess, we are hopeless self-lovers who desperately need Jesus' forgiveness. We will always be impossible to live with. as we live under the wrath of God and the penalty of our sin. May God grant us the humility to accept the gift of this child. In the sky, a tiny star lights up, we're up high. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when this child is born. To feel you're on solid ground. For eternity, no one seems forlorn. This comes to pass when the child is born. And all of this happens because the world is waiting, waiting for this one child, God's child, whose name is Jesus. A child that will grow up and turn tears to laughter, hate to love, war to peace, and everyone to everyone's neighbor, and sin and suffering will be words to be forgotten forever. It's not a dream, no delusion now. It must come true. Sometime soon, somehow. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when this child is born. God is gracious. He's spoken His word to us, given His Son for us. There is only but one thing we need to do: to respond to this God and His mercy, His grace, His love. In a few moments, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray prayers. For some people, the opportunity to pray this prayer for the very first time. And today, God has worked all the circumstances of your life to this day, to this moment, to this service, and spoken to you about your condition, that you are a rebel without God, that you need the Lord Jesus to save you, to make you right with God. I'll lead you in a prayer that will give you the opportunity to find forgiveness in Christ and to be a child of God. Second prayer I'll pray is for those of us who call ourselves believers, Christians, followers, that we will continue to hear the gospel message and, empowered by the Holy Spirit, live a life to please God, to glorify Him. I invite all of us to perhaps close our eyes, bow our heads, as we go to God in prayer. Those of you who know that God has been speaking to you, speak to the circumstances of your life, to the year, perhaps culminating, climaxing in this service, where He's been speaking to you by His word about His Son. God convicting you and me of our sin and our need for forgiveness and new life. accepting Jesus. I invite you to pray this prayer in your hearts with me. Mighty God, our Creator, our Maker, our Ruler, forgive me for forsaking you. Forgive me for rebelling against you. Thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are the only one who can save me from my sin and make me right with God. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. Please forgive me and make me a child of God. Oh God, please grant me your Spirit that I might live my life to know you and to worship you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Those of us who are believers, Christians, you may want to pray this prayer with me. Father, I thank you that I belong to you. Please forgive me if and when I've chosen not to live as your child by your Spirit and according to your word. May your Spirit convict me afresh of the privilege and the goodness of belonging to Jesus and becoming like him, bearing a witness unto him. And I pray by the power of your Spirit and your word, you will grant me repentance to change, to live as a child who is pleasing unto you, completing your mission and bearing witness to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us in our service. There's two more things to do. Can you flip open this response form that you have in your bulletins? Everybody's to do this. Whether you're a member, a regular, a visitor, everybody post this out. If you don't have this, you put up your hands and one of the ushers will come around to where you are and give you a copy of this and give you pens and pencils. We would like to plead with you to just do us this small favor. Everybody just fill in the response there, your name, your email, and whether you're a member, a regular, your response. If you prayed to God for the very first time to believe in the Lord Jesus, please mark that box. And all we want to do there is to help you on your journey. If you'd like to speak to someone, I'll be here after the service to talk to you, help you in your new relationship with God. You came to this service and you could think that I have been excited by this, but I don't know enough. You could join a thing called Discovery Class that we have there, and you could take box number 3 for that. Okay? So please, everybody's filling this up. No shyness, no awkwardness. Okay? If your neighbor is not filling it up, please remind your neighbor you may not get the Christmas lunch. No, we'll give it to you anyway. So everybody fills that up. And after you fill it up, can you do us a favor? Just hand in those response slips or forms to the end of the aisle and ushers will come around to where you are. Just to remind you of two goodies. The gift book that we're giving to each of you. Don't forget to pick that up. Each one a copy, free today. Right? And after the service, a special Christmas lunch together. Okay. It's not ended. We've got 2 songs to sing as we end our time. But that is after you finish filling up those response slips for us. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. May God bless you with His love, with His peace, with His joy. Thank you. Keep filling this in. Write legibly so we can keep in touch with you. And thank you for your time with us today. Thank you. Lots of people are putting that in. That's very good to see. Right. Okay. I'm going to invite Doris and the music team to lead us in our closing songs. And even as we stand to sing those songs, you can still put in those forms because the ushers will keep coming around to pick them up from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Would you- you stand with me as we sing Jesus, Hope of the Nations, and then Joy to the World.
For all who mourn, you are the source of heaven's hope.
Praise God indeed. Let's go to God in prayer. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. We thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that is never too bad and too late in our lives. You have graciously intervened that we would not be enslaved to Satan and sin. You have set us free to be the children of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now may the love of God our Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the abiding presence of the mighty Holy Spirit keep us as the holy people of God this day until we meet you and worship you forever and ever. Amen. Turn to people around you and greet them with Christmas greetings. God's peace, God's love.